Today's post, January 12th, 2026, Martin Luther King Day, hoping for beloved community. I recently returned from our annual meeting of the Association of Holocaust Organizations at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington. Before I drove home, I visited the FDR and MLK memorials, a pilgrimage of sorts. Following up on that visit, I was honored to attend this morning's annual Civic Leaders Martin Luther King Breakfast hosted by the Community Kitchen, and in honor of King's martyred son and civil rights hero, Jonathan Daniels. The breakfast, and especially our speaker, made me rethink what I was going to write today. Breakfast. My dear guide, Holocaust survivor and Richie boy, Stephen Louis, liked to respond to the question, where does hate come from, by answering the breakfast table. So I was thinking of him this morning and realized that breakfast can also be a great way to start the day anew. Our speaker was the remarkable Adar Cohen, originally from Keene. We had an honest, open, and thoughtful discussion about the anger, isolation, fear, and sense of powerlessness we feel given the current polarization and violence in our country. His stories, especially that one about his first rodeo, reminded me about the power of engaging people where they are and about judging less. Conflict loves speed, Adar reminded us. Okay, I'll slow down. Labels. I was going to write about ICE and the fight against civil rights. Instead, I'll write about moving forward as community and finding one's beloved community. I have taught that labeling people sets up a dangerous dynamic. Yes, we want to identify unjust actions, but how we do it is important. Once I throw a label at someone, the options disappear. They become defensive, and I may even make them become the thing I just labeled them. I have learned to listen more and justify less. Listening in respectful humility allows me to grow and also hear why others are doing what they do. Really, I have found that listening, not judging or evaluating, creates a common space for growth and discussion. Although I may disagree with someone or their actions, we cannot build a better future, let alone a present, without respect and looking for the better angels of our nature. Patience. I have often talked about the student who tried to silence my presentation by yelling, "Proud boys rule," and my instinctive response, helped by listening to an FBI hostage negotiator the night before, to listen rather than to label and condemn him. He was angry, fearful, and wondering about his future. I was in a privileged position, and yet he and I, because of mutual respect that developed by listening to each other, came to a different and better place. Often, we discovered that we humans share the hope of safety, dignity, and the ability to express ourselves to someone who will simply listen. We must listen first, connect to things that are outside of our comfort zone, and trust that we have more in common than that which obviously separates us. We all have social connections and individual talents. We must work tirelessly on the things that we can control or have influence over, and let go of those things we can't. We can't get distraught, frustrated, overwhelmed, or defensive. We can only do what we can do, and we have to focus on that. That helps us to hear comments as questions. That opens possibilities. Hannah Pick and Kati Preston. As a Holocaust educator, I listen to stories and experiences that are not mine, nor would I dare to claim to understand them. Instead, I grow when I witness. This will be a focus of the book I'm currently working on. I remember being at Yad Vashem in Jerusalem with an angry colleague seeking to justify his anger, his sense of victimization, and need for vengeance. We were talking with Anne Frank's friend, Hannah Pick, Lee Skousen's in her diary. As I listened to his questions to her about how did you get your revenge, I saw someone in need of answers and little room for questions. He needed the certainty of hate. He was not given the answer that he expected or wanted. Hannah responded kindly, calmly, and with a smile, "I had children." I'm not sure if my colleague really heard her. She was offering a way out of victimization. The assertion that revenge is to choose life she is a Jewish grandmother after all, and love still shapes my life today. Admittedly, I do enjoy it when my hidden child friend Kati Preston puts it a little differently. When asked, how did you get your revenge? She always likes to say, every time I had a child, it was like giving the finger to Hitler. I like that. But it raises questions, I think, if we know that Anne Frank and Martin Luther King were both born in 1929. Each were murdered by white supremacists, but in different places and contexts. It is easy to tap into anger, but it is more important to build a future. Nonviolent confidence. The civil rights movement succeeded because it chose nonviolence as both a tactical and strategic approach. One cannot fight hate and power with either, unless war has made it necessary. In our democratic life, we must choose dignity. It is not, as it are stated, simply about smiling or giving out flowers. However nice that may be, we need to do more and act strategically with our convictions. If we listen, engage eye to eye with curiosity, and accept that the work is not easy, then we can build a common ground, a space where education, not self-defensiveness, can happen. Teachers instinctively know this, and we must be constantly reminded that it is true. Rather than ask, why are you doing this? We can ask, what is important to you? What is one thing you'd like to tell me about yourself? What is one thing no one has ever asked you? In one conversation with a student, he prefaced his comments by saying, are you going to cancel me if I speak? He was seeking worth. I reassured him that I don't do that. My response was, I guess, a little defensive, but I was also curious. I asked him why he felt that way, rather than trying to convince him that he was wrong. We had a wonderful conversation. My turn. If we want to build Dr. King's vision of a beloved community, we have to listen more and judge less. Nonviolence is not just being nice. It is a strategy to illuminate how destructive and self-destructive violence is. It takes courage, conviction, and trust. Those who sat at lunch counters or were beaten on the Pettus Bridge knew that could happen and likely would happen. They showed strength because they trusted in the hope of the Republic. To build something better, we must take care of ourselves and trust our values. We must build and expand safe spaces where difference is okay. I guess safe enough spaces. We must reach out to offer dignity and allow people to step away from a defensive identity cycle that limits their options. We must get beyond ourselves to discover and grow our own supportive communities. Our beloved community must thrive on the questions it asks, the diversity it embraces, and the opportunities it offers that perhaps we had never imagined.